Welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This program is all about music and the people who make it. And back once again to make plenty of Christmas music for Northwest Indiana, our good friends, the Oak Ridge Boys, coming to Star Plaza Theater for yet another year of musical celebration of the season. And they'll be here December 20th. Hopefully on the phone with us right now will be Joe Bonsall of the Mighty Oaks. Let's find out. Hello, Joe, are you there?
Is this Tom?
Yes, it is.
Tom, Joe Bonsall with the Oak Ridge Boys, sir.
Hello, Joe. There's only so many weeks in a year to do a Christmas show, yet the Oak Ridge Boys always seem to come back to Northwest Indiana. Joe, tell us why Merrillville is always on the map at Christmas time.
Well, you know, we've been playing Merrillville since they first built the place. In fact, you folks up there might remember that there was a Holiday Inn Theater in Valparaiso.
Bridgeview Theater.
Yes, we played there 2 years in a row, and then they built Holiday Star. And when they first built it, they invited the Oak Ridge Boys to play there on New Year's Eve, and it like quickly became a tradition. And we played there every New Year's Eve for like about 20 years. And it, like I say, a big tradition. And you know, the same people run the theater that have run it all these years. We've become friends. We've become family. And somewhere along the way, being the Oaks do this big Christmas tour every year. This is our 26th annual Christmas tour this year. They changed it and wanted to do the Christmas show there instead of New Year's Eve. And so we started doing Christmas shows there. And now we've been doing Christmas shows there now for years. And it is a part of our tradition. I don't think the Christmas tour can hit the road if we're not going to stop in Merrillville. It just wouldn't seem right. And I know we feel that way, and I know they feel that way. So it's always a fun afternoon.
It's like you are visiting family to many of us here now. It wouldn't be Christmas without the Oaks.
Well, you know, we've got folks that kind of plan their whole Christmas around the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas show, and a lot of folks do that in Merrillville and around that surrounding area where you're at in Gary and everything. And it's just amazing to me that the people that come out year after year after year, it's one of those stages where you hit the stage and you look at the audience and you, like, recognize people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you say, well, I know those folks. I know that guy. I recognize them in the third row. You know, it's kind of funny because that doesn't happen too often. And, like, for instance, you know, in a couple of nights from now, we'll be doing the Christmas show, like, in Shelton, Washington. You know, I think we've played Shelton, Washington maybe twice in our lives. And but Merrillville, you play every year, and you get to be familiar with it, and it just becomes tradition, man. And you know, the Oak Ridge Boys, we're all about tradition. We are tradition. So Whenever there's something that kind of feels traditional, it feels good to us.
Now, every year you bring the Christmas show, and you change it around a lot, so it's never the same old, same old. The one point, you brought out the rocking chairs and shared stories. Another year or two, you had actual snow falling on stage. Santa and Mrs. Claus come out. What's in store for us this year? Have you got any new twists?
Well, there's not too much new here from last year. We have changed the songs around a little bit, but we're still doing the rocking chair segment. We've tried to change it up some and tell different stories, so we ain't telling you the same thing from last year. And we've got Santa Claus and his Peterbilt sleigh out there this year. We've got the song on our Christmas Times of Coming CD called Peterbilt Sleigh, something the kids just love. And Santa comes out in this big mock-up Peterbilt sleigh, as if his own sleigh broke down, so he had to take a truck. It's silly, but it's fun.
In a pilot travel center, I heard someone say, "Does anyone around here work on sleighs?" I was headed back home empty when this crazy idea hit me. I said, "Santa, we can use my truck so Christmas won't be late." Now Santa's riding shotgun, Rudolph's in the middle, had to get a lot done, visit every little boy and girl in this big old world. We were doing 90 miles an hour when I hit my last gear. Then we shifted to the power of a red-nosed reindeer. 18 wheels in the sky, airborne overdrive. We gave 3.1 billion toys away in a Peterbilt. He jumped out and down a chimney, then popped right back out a grinning, milk dripping from his mustache. and cookie crumbs in his beard. He'd do a little ho, 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 and say, let's get this big rig rolling. We'd blast off like a rocket while I was hanging on for life so dear. Sorry, Rudolph. Now Santa's riding shotgun. Rudolph's in the middle, had to get a lot done. Visit every little boy and girl in this big old world. We were doing 90 miles an hour when I hit my last gear. Then we shifted to the power of a red-nosed reindeer. 18 wheels in the sky, airborne overdrive. We gave 3.1 billion toys away in a Peterbilt sleigh. The last toy out of that truck. Santa did a little dance, winked and grinned, and magically it filled back up. Now Santa's riding shotgun, Rudolph's in the middle, had to get a lot done. Visit every little boy and girl in this big old world. We were doing 90 miles an hour when I hit my last gear. Shifted to the power of a red-nosed reindeer. 18 wheels in the sky, airborne overdrive. We gave 3.1 billion toys away in a Peterbilt sleigh.
Nothing says it's a country Christmas quite like a Peterbilt sleigh. I'm Tom Lounge as you're listening to Midwest Beat, where my guest this evening is Oak Ridge boy Joe Bonsall. Coming to Star Plaza Theater on Sunday, December 20th, Joe, along with the Peterbilt sleigh and Santa and Mrs. Claus, what else can we expect at the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas show?
Of course, we try to cover every aspect of Christmas, and we always start the show, you know, with about 40 minutes of regular Oak Ridge Boys songs, and that'll be a little different this year than last year. And then for the whole Christmas portion of the show, man, we try to, like I say, cover every aspect of Christmas, from the presents and Santa Claus and snow and romance right up to the real meaning of Christmas and celebrate the birth of Christ at the end. And so it's been an effective tour for us for a long, long time. People love the Oaks Christmas show.
That's something that's unique about the Oaks, too, and I really feel the need to point out, is so many artists go on the road this time of year and call it the holiday show, being politically correct. The Oak Ridge Boys have never taken Christ out of Christmas.
Never. In fact, I think I feel a stronger responsibility this year than ever before to stand up for Christ and stand up for Christmas. It's just in my upbringing. It's in our upbringing. It's the way we feel about things. And, we kind of seem to live in a country where people would tend to pull you further and further away from God, possibly at a time when we need to be moving closer and closer to God. And I think Christmas is a wonderful time to reflect upon those kind of blessings that I think we all need to be reflecting upon, to be honest with you.
Well, Joe, I know from speaking in the past with your friend and fellow Oak Ridge boy Richard Sturban that this happens to be his favorite song of the season, and it's also a popular favorite with the fans of the Oaks, so let's play it, as it captures the reason for the season. Mary, Did You Know? More with the Mighty Oaks and Joe Bonsall coming up after this.
Mary, did you know your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know?
Tom Lounge, as you're listening to Midwest Beat, where my guest this evening is Oak Ridge boy Joe Bonsall. Joe, going back to your childhood in Philadelphia, is there one special Christmas memory that you could share with my listeners?
Well, I'll tell you, I have a lot of them. My mom and dad were World War II veterans, and we lived in a little row house in Philly, and it was a very small ship. It was just me, my mom and dad, and sister Nancy, younger sister. And what I remember about Christmas is how my father, who was an electrician until he had a stroke at age 39, he would make Christmas morning like Disneyland at our house. And we would come down them steps, man, and he put up this big train platform that he built himself. How he ever got it out of the basement, I'll never know. I guess a couple of neighbors helped. But, you know, we'd go to bed and the living room was normal. We'd come downstairs Christmas morning and it was all lit up with a train going around the track on the platform and a tree all lit up and presents under the tree that I know they couldn't afford without working extra jobs, which I know my mom did. So to me, when I think of Christmas, I think of me and my sister coming down those steps in the morning and it just being awesome. And I've always been thankful to my mom and dad for giving us that Christmas memory because, I mean, you just can't sleep at night when you hear a little noise downstairs. Is that Santa Claus or is it Daddy just trying to put up that platform? But whatever, man, you didn't dare peek. You stayed in bed and pretended to be asleep even if you weren't. It's a great time for me. And my mother was such a good, wonderful Christian woman, and she always made sure that the values of this great nation and the values of the Bible and of Jesus Christ were taught to us as well. And I was always very fond of the fact that under the tree we had a very small little manger scene, one little white bulb stuck in the back of it, one little white bulb that lit up the manger scene. And my mother would always remind us what Christmas was all about through that manger scene. So I love Christmas. I love Christmas as a kid. I love it now. It's amazing, though, with this Christmas tour, we don't get to spend too much time with our own families over Christmas now. You know, we won't slide into Nashville till December 23rd, and then we sing there that night. The Christmas tour closes at the Hall of Fame. Hmm. They're having a Christmas series of shows at the Country Music Hall of Fame, and we're the last one. December 23rd. And then so on the 24th, I'm finally finished singing. And I could celebrate Christmas with my own wife and daughters and grandkids. And it's a special time to get into town and put all the singing behind me now. It's like we've given Christmas to everybody else. Now, man, let's have us some Christmas.
All right. Is there an annual tradition that you and Mary have at the homestead?
My wife is a Christmas woman. She decorates. She ain't big on decorating outside the house. We put one big wreath up outside, and that's it. She says this is for us. And we must have 20 Christmas trees inside the house of all kinds and sizes. She decorates them every year. She decorates a new one or two every year, and they're everywhere. And she makes a big, gigantic dinner, and all of her family comes in as well. And it's a family gathering. And we always all hold hands and pray. Thank the Lord for the year that's just passed, and ask his blessings upon the family for the year coming forward, and make sure we don't take anything for granted. And that's, to me, the best tradition of our family Christmas, is that prayer.
All right. Oaks have released 6 Christmas albums to date. Of those many Christmas songs that you guys have recorded, is there a special favorite of yours that just says, this is Christmas when I hear this song?
Well, you know, you got to love some of the great standards. Richard Sturban, our bass singer, who I know you've talked to in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Richard does an incredible job singing Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting. And that song's always been special to me because, again, going back to my father and my childhood, my father didn't listen to a lot of music, but, man, he loved Nat King Cole. And I remember Christmas him on this old record player playing the Christmas song by Nat King Cole. And it was one of his favorites. He'd sing it with it badly, I might add, but he would. So there's something about that song that always... It's Christmas to me, no matter who I hear singing it. Bing Crosby, Nat King Cole, Richard. If I hear it on TV, I always think of my father right away. So I have to go with the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting. It always makes a warm spot in my heart.
All right. Well, let's play that one right now. Here's the Christmas song, as recorded by the Oak Ridge Boys. More with Joe Bonsall when we return on Midwest Beat.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight.
They know that Santa's on his way. Lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly.
And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Tom Lounge as you're listening to Midwest Beat, where my guest this evening is Oak Ridge boy Joe Bonsall. Joe, Oaks have a new album, Rock of Ages, Hymns and Gospel Favorites, and last year you finally gave us a great live album with Boys Night Out. Cleopatra, which you did the live album with Cleopatra Records, is best known for releasing 80s hair metal bands. How did the Oak Ridge Boys wind up on Cleopatra?
You know, I have no idea. I think it had to do with our manager, Jim Halsey. He knows some of those people with Cleopatra, and they got to chatting and talking about a live album. And they came on board with it right away, said, that would be cool, let's do it. So we did it. And you're right, they're a worldwide label. They're probably the biggest independent label in the world. Mm-hmm. And they do release a lot of not only 80s hair bands, but they release like a lot of like really grisly rock and roll. I mean, like we're like on the same label as the Mud Puppets or something like that. I mean, I don't.
Oh, the Meat Puppets.
The Meat Puppets, yes. I says, wow, we're on the same label as the Meat Puppets. Who could have ever saw that coming? But I got to tell you, we're looking forward to 2016. I think we're going to get an opportunity in Nashville to record a brand new first line album with a major label. And we're really excited about it. And I think that's going to happen possibly in March. We can't talk much about it because the I's haven't been dotted and so forth yet.
Okay.
But with a well-known producer and a major label, I think we're going to get one more shot in our old age at a really good album full of brand new songs. We're excited about it. It's new creativity.
Well, you guys have been keeping on despite the odds. I mean, Gaithier, Cracker Barrel, Cleopatra, you've been free agents for a while, musically speaking. So it's nice to know you're getting back into the bullpen in the major leagues again.
Well, at least for one album, for doggone sure. And we're looking forward to it. And I really hope it happens because, you know, you've got this desire inside to continue to grow and to continue to make good music and to do something memorable. And the Oak Ridge Boys are always about that. You know, there's no quitting this group, man. It's always like moving forward. It's like God will tell us when to stop. You know, Joe's dead. He ain't coming to the bus tonight. That would do it.
Right.
And that'd probably be the only thing that would do it, because this is a group that just moves forward constantly. And we're so excited about the possibility of doing a new album next year that, you know, we're stoked.
Well, the newest album you've got out, the Rock of Ages, Hymns and Gospel Favorites, you've embraced your roots. The group, of course, is rooted in gospel, but you've had tremendous success in the secular market, obviously. So many artists cannot cross over. If they are starting in gospel and they go secular, the fans seem to turn against them and they have to win over a new audience. You guys go back and forth flawlessly. There's never any negative fallout. You're blessed in that way. Why do you think that is?
I have to give some of that credit to Bill Gaither. I mean, Bill Gaither is like the premier personality in Southern gospel music these days. He's done more for gospel than anybody. And he has invited us to take part in some of those Gaither homecoming videos. He has let us record on his label. Gaither's responsible for this Hymns album. And I think it has enabled us to very easily walk between the two and have friends in both arenas and to be able to do that. And I think most gospel music fans know that the Oak Ridge Boys in our hearts are good men. We're not singing gospel for a living. We're not preaching at you much. And that's not our bag. You know, our bag is to go out there and sing a bunch of hits and entertain the people and hit them with a little positive Jesus on occasion. And that's what we've done on our tour all this year. And with the Hymns album, we take a few hymns to the stage, and no matter where we play, and we're still going to witness a little bit and not having to have the restraints or whatever of being stuck solely in gospel music. So we've been able to walk it pretty well, and I think that people love that aspect of the Oaks, that we're just kind of a middle America band, man. We belong to middle America, whether it's gospel, whether it's country, whether we're banging you with just a little bit of rock and roll, man. Everybody, you know, loves the Oak Ridge Boys. It's like mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and the kids, and you see the young kids out there singing our songs, and you say, how can you know that song? You're too young. Mm. And they say, well, grandpa played it in his 8-track in the pickup truck when we were kids. So we're like passed down like an old shirt or something.
Joe, the Oak Ridge Boys just received the Country Song of the Year at the Dove Awards for your work with Merle Haggard on the gospel album. Tell me how that came about.
Well, go back for a second to the live project. Merle Haggard wrote this gospel song called Sweet Jesus and got it to us. We loved it. But we were working on the live album for Cleopatra at the time, and there was nowhere to put it. So we stuck it aside and said, man, if we ever get a chance to record this Merle Haggard song, we've got to do it and get Merle to sing with us. And then the Hymns album project came up early this year. And it was like, hey, a light went on. We can do the Merle Haggard song here. And we got Merle to sing on it with us and do the recitation. And it was on the Hymns album as part of that. and it won a Dove Award for best gospel, best country gospel song of the year. So how very, very cool.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Just as I am, Jesus, sweet Jesus, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The church wants to hear my confession. It's something they all want to see. Ah, but Lord, I'm only a sinner, just a sinner, and my sin is all that I can be. Love me just as I am, Jesus, sweet Jesus, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
As a boy, I was always afraid to go down at altar call and kneel down. And over the years I wondered, was my soul saved or was it lost? Then I realized salvation was all the grace of Jesus. And we'd been saved just the way he saved that thief on the cross.
Jesus, sweet Jesus, you love me just as I am. Jesus, sweet Jesus,
I've been warned in the blood of the Lamb. It's true.
Jesus, sweet Jesus.
Well, that's the song that took home the best gospel country song of the year, Oak Ridge Boys, with little help from Merle Haggard. I'm Tom Lounges. You're listening to Midwest Beat. Oak Ridge Boys are coming to Star Plaza Theater on Sunday, December 20th. My guest this evening, the one and only Joe Bonsall. Joe, no matter how you slice it and calculate it, you're still the new guy in the group. You've only been with them, what, 42 years now?
Yeah, 42. I'm into my 43rd year now. I'm the new guy. I'm still the youngest and still the best looking.
All right. What's the secret? I mean, so many bands, they can't stay together for more than an album or two or a tour or two. You guys have been together over 40 years, just the four of you. Now, the group has an 80-year history, but half of that is the four of you. What's the secret?
Well, there's a lot of answers. I wrote about this in my new book. There's a lot of answers that comes out of everybody's mouth, and they're all true. We love what we do. We love and respect each other. We all know our place in the big wheel. We're spokes on the big wheel. We want to keep the big wheel turning. All of this is true. But I think, to a man, nobody wants to see this legacy end. It's been an amazing ride, an amazing career, a Hall of Fame career. We're one of only six acts that are in the Country Music and the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. And it's just an amazing place to be, And as four boys growing up in four different parts of the country, wanting to sing, wanting to someday sing harmony and be in a great quartet, and now we've been able to live out all of those dreams and more, why would you want to stop doing it? I just can't see any reason to stop. And thankfully, like I said before, in a very forward-thinking group, there's no quit in anybody here. Because, you know, all it would take is one guy to say, guys, I'm tired of it. If I get on that bus one more time, I'm going to shoot myself. But that's just the opposite here. Everybody gets on the bus, and we're glad to be on the bus. Everybody hugs each other's neck and says, let's go sing. That's been the mantra of the Oak Ridge Boys forever. Even after the Country Music Hall of Fame, people in the press would say, well, what do you do now? We go sing. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. We sing. And it's just our lives. We spent just about our whole adult lives so far being an Oak Ridge Boy. And it's hard to imagine not being that.
Well, Joe, since you guys are going to be playing some of your hits during the Christmas concert at Star Plaza, let's slip one in right now. From the non-Christmas albums, here's one of my personal favorites.
Seems everything I buy these days has got a foreign name. From the kind of car I drive video game.
I got a Nikon camera, a Sony color TV.
But the one that I love is from the USA and standing next to me.
My baby is American made, born and bred in the USA. Promise she'll be long hair to her sexy.
Tight blue jeans she bought in Mexico, and she loves wearing French perfume everywhere we go.
But when it comes to the loving part, one thing is true.
My baby is American made.
Tom Lounge, as you're listening to Midwest Beat, where my guest this evening is Oak Ridge Boy Joe Bonsall. Joe, sometimes groups need side projects. A lot of them do solo albums. You started writing books. Let's talk about your career as a successful author. When did you first start writing, and what prompted you to sit down and put pen to paper?
In the early 90s. Now, when I was a kid, I wrote fiction stories. They never went anywhere, of course. And boy, if my mother hadn't thrown them out with my baseball cards, I'd still have them. But I wrote fiction stories about baseball players and about gunfighters. I always loved to write and make up stuff. Now, I'm not a big fiction writer today. Most of my books are not fiction. However, if you fast forward, aside from writing some articles for country music magazines in the 80s, tour diaries and stuff like that, in the early 90s, my wife and I got this kitten named Molly, and we loved Molly so much that I started writing about her.
Oh, yeah.
And that eventually ended up to be a four-book series for Ideal Children's Books called the Molly the Cat series. And they were very, very successful. And as years went by, I've written some other projects, and I've got 10 books published, G.I. Joe and Lily, A Story of My Parents of World War II being the biggest seller. And this new book, On the Road with the Oak Ridge Boys, that I've written for Harvest House, is doing really, really well. I'm just so excited that so many people are reading this book. It's almost like a how-to book. this is how the Oak Ridge Boys do what we do. It's how we've done what we've done. There's a little bit about each guy in the book. There's road stories, a lot of humor. It's a handbook for the music industry. If you want to learn how a major music act does what they do, this is the book for you. And it's also very spiritual. We talked earlier about our spiritual leanings and our Christianity. And I write about that in detail in the book. I also write about our history and gospel music, as you just alluded to as well. Mm-hmm. It's a chapter that comes in three parts. Early gospel music influence on me growing up in Philly, the early days of the Oak Ridge Boys and our career in gospel, and the days with Bill Gaither. It's kind of a three-part chapter, actually. And I take a few side trips in the book and do some personal writing as well, but for the most part, it is an incredible story of the Oak Ridge Boys and how we exist today and how we've done it through the years. And it's a real honor for me to be able to write words down, and I try to move people with my writing. I like to inspire, and I'm in a funny place right now because the book company, Harvest House, this book has done so well, they want me to write something else. And right now I'm in that period, I don't know what to write. Okay. I just don't know what to write. And, you know, I had this crazy idea the other day about country music cats. It's been a while since I wrote about cats, and I have so many cats at home, and I love my cats. And I'm thinking about, suppose there was a cat named Johnny Cat, or Minnie Purr. And then I start to lose my mind a little bit and get away from it. But who knows, man? I'm just crazy enough where I might write something like that. Or I just don't know what to write right now. I wrote a big chapter the other day on dreams. I had this weird dream, man, and I wrote it all down. I wrote about dreams and how they affect you. I don't know that would end up anywhere except maybe a commentary on my website, but I don't know. I'd like to write another book, and my goal for this next year is to write another book. I'll just have to see which way I go.
Molly the Cat could take a trip to Nashville and meet all these celebrity country cats.
That's true, you know, like they're hanging out behind Tootsie's Orchid Lounge by the stage door of the Grand Ole Opry.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, who knows?
Let's talk a little bit about Molly. Molly the Cat is just a huge hit with the kids. Ideal Children's Books has released, as you mentioned, four titles? I thought there were five.
Yeah. No, there's actually four Molly books. Okay. I did write a Christmas story for Molly once. It never got released.
Well, it's well known, as you mentioned, you and Mary are cat lovers.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I'm a dog guy. I met my wife, Alice, who had five cats, and it was a case of love me, love my cat. So here we are with the Brady Bunch of animals, dogs, cats, and a horse. Is that similar to your case with Mary? I understand she was the lifelong cat fan, and you've kind of embraced the cats through her.
Yes, I never had a cat. I had a dog or two when I was a kid, and I never had cats ever. And Mary, she's a cat person. And how you learn to survive with a wife who is a totally committed cat person is to just know your place.
Right.
If we've got five cats, you're number six. If there's seven cats, you're number eight. Just know your place in the house, and everything works out fine.
How did Molly the series start, and did you envision it as a series when you first set that?
No, I envisioned it actually as a Disney movie screenplay, to be honest.
Okay.
But I don't know how to write a screenplay, so I opened up a fresh page on a new laptop back in the early 90s, and I went to Vegas, and I was thinking about Molly. She just had come to us. She's the cutest little kitten we've ever had, and I just adored the little girl, and I was missing her. And so we did a show in Las Vegas. We were out there playing for a week, I think it was at the time, at Bally's. And I got to my room afterwards, and I guess some people in Vegas will go to their room and party or, you know, gamble and stuff like that. Joey goes to his room and gets out his laptop and writes, Molly was 2 years old, although she still looks somewhat like a kitten. It's just that she never grew very big. Molly felt that it had something to do with her beginnings, although she didn't remember too much about them. But she did recall the night a young male human cat picked her up out of the rain and took her to the home and to Mother Mary. And away I went. I just was into this thing of what if all these cats could talk?
Mm-hmm.
What if the outdoor cats that came around could talk? They'd be cooler than the indoor cats, of course. The indoor cats would want to be like the outdoor cats because they had it made out there, not realizing that the indoor cats are the ones that had it made. See, you can very easily lose your mind when you start to write this kind of stuff. And I made all these characters, and all of them, except for maybe the bad cat in one of my books, Red, who was the evil cat. You can make him any bully you want to make him anywhere in the world, but there's always a bully somewhere, and I made Red the big bully. And all the other cats and the one dog in my series named Brewster the Bulldog, they all were animals that I knew personally. And I took their kind of personalities the way I knew them and made them into characters that spoke in their own language, man, cat speak. They could understand each other. They could understand very few words of the human speak, but they got some of it.
Will we see any more Molly books come out? Do you think you've got more in you?
If not Molly, something like it. Yes, I know I have that in me somewhere. And I think somewhere down the road I may revert back to writing about cats. Yes, it's my favorite thing to do. I love cats. I just love to watch them. I love to be around them. Very few cats love me, to be honest. They're all so in love with my wife that when I come home, it's like they look at me like, and you're here, why?
Yeah.
They're like little pieces of art that decorate your home and puke on your manuscript.
There you go. Whether it's a regular tour or the Christmas tour, it just wouldn't be an Oak Ridge Boys show without this one. More with Joe Bonsall on the other side. Stay with us.
Elvira. Elvira. My heart's on fire for Elvira.
Eyes that look like heaven, lips like cherry.
Papa, mau, mau. High on silver, away.
Tonight I'm gonna meet her at the Hungry House Cafe. And I'm gonna give her all the love I can. Yes, I am. She's gonna jump and holler, 'cause I've saved up my last.
Papa, mau, mau. Giddy up.
Papa, papa, mau, mau.
High on silver, away. Elvira. Elvira.
Well, I'm sure everybody listening tonight was singing along with that one. It's probably the best known Oak Ridge Boys song, Elvira. And it's one that is featured in every single Oak Ridge performance, including the Christmas show, December 20th at Star Plaza Theater. Something we can all look forward to. I've been looking forward to talking with Joe Bonsall again, so let's get to it. Joe? Let's jump back. The new book, On the Road with the Oak Ridge Boys, released this year through Harvest House. You guys do over 125 dates a year on average, as I understand. Did you spend most of the time on the bus writing this? When did you find time?
You know what's really funny? Almost every book I have written, including the Molly books, I've written on the road. I've done very little writing at home. I wrote a few chapters in a book a few years ago called From My Perspective. I wrote a few of those out on my farm because I was inspired by the farm and nature to write out there, and it's so quiet. And I spend a lot of time there, in the winter especially. And ironically enough, on the road with the Oak Ridge Boys, I wrote a lot at home.
Hmm.
It's crazy. I do most of my writing on the road, sitting on the bus, sitting in a motel room all day when you have nothing to do. And ironically, though, I sat on my couch, laid back with the laptop, and did so much writing of on the road at home. It's just a little bit of a different feel to it, maybe because of that. But I even thank my wife at the end for putting up with me because I did write so much of it at home. And you get kind of tunnel vision when you're writing. And she put up with it. And yeah, it's kind of funny that it's so much of this one was written at home. I've really never talked about that in an interview. Nobody's asked me about it but you. And it's true that I've always written on the road, but this book, I'd say about two-thirds of this book I actually wrote at home, sitting on the couch while I was at home, even through the night.
I've noticed you also dedicated the book to all four of your mothers, too. I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, man, I'm so thankful for my mom, and I fortunately, all of us have got to know each other's mothers before any of that. And Richard's mom just passed last fall about this time, and that was the last of our living mothers. All our mothers and dads are gone now. We're all orphans. And our mothers all brought us up in the way we should go, man. All four of our mothers who loved their son, loved God, loved this country, and loved the Oak Ridge Boys. And I had to dedicate it to the four moms, yes.
There are quotes from the other members in word boxes throughout the book. It's a very easy read. The chapters are short. It's a very easy read. Did you pull those quotes from memory, from past media interviews, or did you actively sit the guys down and say, look, you're going to help me with this book?
You know what I really did? When I knew I was going to write this book, I wanted to do quotes from the guys. So like it was on August.
Oh, you're breaking up on me there.
When we would do interviews and stuff and somebody would say something cool, I wrote it down. I did not interview the guys individually, no. I just made notes.
Looking back, when you're writing a memoir, a historical piece, you obviously have to face not just the good times and good memories, but also even the most blessed people have tough moments in their life. What was the hardest part of looking back when you were working on this book and also American Journey in 2004?
Well, the hardest part about American Journey had to do with that small period of time there when us and Golden did not get along. When Golden went his separate way from the Oaks. A lot of people have asked me why didn't I write about that in this book, and it's because you just brought up American Journey. I thought I wrote a chapter about that covered it all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very difficult chapter to write because it was a time when we all just stopped communicating. And I tried to make a lesson in there of how important communication and love and forgiveness is. And I think I accomplished it in that book. But for a little while there, back in the late 80s, We did have some problems within the group, and they were kind of dark days for us because the four of us that had accomplished so much started to drift apart because of this. And thankfully, we pulled it all together, and that's what I wrote about in American Journey. And on the road with the Oak Ridge Boys, I made a much more positive book out of that. I didn't really delve into that aspect because that's really the only, aside from starving to death in the middle 70s, which every group does, that's probably the only dark time we've ever had. Everything's been really positive and upbeat with the Oak Ridge Boys. That's the kind of group we are. It's the kind of music we sing.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw no need to revisit that again and on the road with the Oak Ridge Boys. I wrote about it once. That was enough.
It was interesting because you reunited with Golden right here in Maryville at the Star Plaza. I thought that was just amazing.
What was really amazing was the couple of weeks before that when I ran into Golden in the supermarket and he looked at me and he said, Joey. And I hugged his neck and realized, you know, we've got a lot of talking to do. He said, well, come on over. And I went over and sat at his home by his fireplace around Christmas that year before Maryville. And we talked about a lot of things. And I remember thinking, you know, Golden, I don't know if we can sing together again. I think we can. But I was so thankful that we were able to sit together as brothers and friends and have that conversation for a couple of hours by his fireplace. It meant the world to me. And I loved Golden, loved him even through the bad times. I love him now. And I realized then that he loved me too. And I had found out that Dwayne Allen had the same conversation with Golden, and so had Richard. I didn't even know that. And then all of a sudden, the four of us are sitting around a piano, and we're singing again. And Maryville, we brought him out on stage at midnight. We had a couple of the young guys in our family singing with us up until that point.
Mm-hmm.
And at midnight, we brought William Lee Golden back out on the stage. And we sang together that night for the first time in several years, and that was a long time ago. So,
right,
that was a great story, and yes, Maryville was a part of it, ironically enough.
Well, it just wouldn't be Christmas without some Christmas cookies, and here to bake them up are the Oak Ridge Boys. I'm Tom Lounges. More with Joe Bonsall of the Mighty Oaks when we return on the other side.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. The ones that look like Santa Claus, Christmas tree, bells and stars. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe.
Now those Christmas cookies are a special treat. The more she bakes, the more I eat. And sometimes I just can't get myself to stop.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes she waits till I'm asleep, and then she'll take the ones that I don't eat. and put those little sprinkly things on top.
Oh yeah,
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. The ones that look like Santa Claus, Christmas trees, bells and stars. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe.
Now those sprinkly things just make things worse, 'cause it makes them taste better than they did at first. And I'm just thoroughly unable to resist. Some disappear to who knows where, but I make sure that I get my share. And those kids just stand there waiting for the ones I miss.
Oh yeah,
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. She gets mad if they're all gone before she gets the icing put on. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe.
Now there's a benefit to all of this that you might have overlooked or missed. So now let me tell you the best part of it all.
Yeah.
Every time she sticks another batch in the oven, there's 15 minutes for some kissing and a hugging. And that's why I eat Christmas cookies all year long.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe.
Yeah.
The ones that look like Santa Claus, Christmas trees, bells and stars. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe.
Man, I just love the sounds of the Christmas season. A Christmas favorite there from the Oak Ridge Boys, one that perhaps they'll be doing when they hit the Star Plaza Theater on December 20th. My guest this evening on Midwest Beat is Oak Ridge Boy Joe Bonsall. Joe?
You've had a blessed and wonderful life, as we've talked about. At this point, what remains on your bucket list, Joe?
I don't know, man. I want to keep writing. I want to keep inspiring people. I would really love to write that big fiction book someday. And I've got a couple half written. I don't know where they're going to ever go. Sometimes the publishers will balk at fiction. They say, well, fiction isn't selling right now. Only the big authors are selling fiction. If you're James Patterson or Stephen King, you know, you're selling a lot. But, you know, even your lesser popular authors like Nelson DeMille and some of them are not selling as much as they were. And for newer authors, fiction's a hard sell. So, you know, I'm discouraged by people on every turn. And that makes me want to write it even more. So I'll have to see what happens with that. But I want to write some more. I'm really looking forward to making some more new music. I'd like to write a few good songs yet. I don't write many songs, but I've written a few decent songs. I'd like to write a few more songs. And other than that, man, I just want to try to stay healthy and live my life and take care of my family, man. That's it for me. And keep singing.
Is there anything we haven't talked about you'd like to let people know?
No, I don't think so, my brother. I think we've covered everything, and I really appreciate you taking the time, a lot of time, actually, to talk to me and to interview me and to talk about my books and the Oak Ridge Boys and our music and the Christmas show in Maryville. That's a real honor, so thank you.
Well, I appreciate your time because, like I said, you're like family here to Northwest Indiana. You're an honorary Hoosier.
Yeah, we are, man. See you in a week.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. Bye-bye.